9:30 on a Monday morning is at least the second and fourth Mondays of the month, an opportunity for me to welcome in City Manager Mike Bailey and members of the staff and or management of the City of Bartlesville. First of all, good morning, Mike. Thanks for coming
morning,
in this morning.
Charlie. How are you doing?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Isn't it?
Rain likely today, showers likely overnight, sunshine for tomorrow, 52, sunny again on Wednesday, but then some precipitation probably coming our way for the weekend.
Well, we've had our winter precipitation. We got lucky several times. It was north of us, it was south of us. We finally had some ice late last week, and thankfully, Keith Henry and his guys are always ready.
I'm still counting on the Circle Mountain Dome to keep the rest of it going. You know,
I referred to it as the Keith Henry effect, because I was convinced several times, Keith, you got the guys ready, we'll be fine. It won't get us. He's confident enough to where he's scared the storms away.
Well, I know who to credit. But the nice thing about it is, if Keith Henry is out of town and the whole thing falls apart, you still have the personnel,
right,
the manpower, and the equipment to get the job done.
That's right. They are always ready. I truly am impressed. We'll have guys driving around at 1:30 in the morning if there's a chance for any sort of precipitation to stick on the bridges or overpasses. We'll always have guys out, and then we always have them on call just in case. And then, of course, I've got Chief Rolls here with me. His guys are always the eyes and ears of the City of Bartlesville. So if the police notice anything, they know who to get a hold of, and we'll dispatch those guys out. So
they've got Keith Henry's number on speed dial, huh?
Yes, sir, they do. And he probably answers their phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't think he'd answer me, Charlie.
I tried one time recently. He didn't answer mine.
So. You either. Okay. Well, we're not on his list, Charlie. We're not on his 2 a.m. list.
He did give me a call back. He answered. He does return voicemail, apparently. But you know.
Yes. Once he gets up, he gets around.
Yeah. But it's okay. We didn't miss out on that much because the weather wasn't that bad.
Yeah, thankfully we really have. We have been very, very fortunate because, like I said, we've had some serious weather to our north and south. And yeah, let's hope our luck holds through the rest of this year. My children think that I'm the world's greatest Grinch, because anytime there's a possibility of snow or ice, they're excited.
Yeah, well, you do have a new driver in your household, so that's one opportunity
that's
for you
it.
To exercise those Grinch skills occasionally.
That's it. I can't, you know, I don't get excited about snow or ice because I know what it does to the city crews. And I remember the year we had about 18 inches of snow once, and, mm-hmm. and 12 inches, and then a couple of weeks later, 18 inches.
And then a different year, we hit the temperature record of a minus 27.
That was spectacular. Yeah. Yes, all of those. So I'm well aware of what that means to the city crews and the guys that are working and driving those vehicles, and they work long hours, and we pull everybody in. It's water, wastewater, streets guys. It's an all hands on deck.
I know that they are compensated, but it's nice to know that they are also dedicated crews and are out there getting the job done.
They really are. And like I said, I'm very proud of those guys, and I'm always impressed when I get into City Hall and the roads are already cleared, the sidewalks are salted around City Hall. So I really do appreciate those guys and the work that they do.
And by the way, compared to some downtown areas that I have driven through, our downtown looks very nice considering sometimes some heavy snowfalls.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting process because you realize that most people just think about pushing the snow off the road. Well, in a downtown area, you can't just push it to the side. So we push it into the middle, and then it literally looks like a major construction crew out there. They're loading up dump trucks, and they have to haul that snow, and then they have to deposit it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And depending on where we put it, it could be there till early summer. Of course, that's fun for the kids when you get these big old snow mountains.
So. Sure.
But we've been very fortunate, and hopefully it'll hold up through this week, Charlie. But I'm not so sure. I'm seeing some awfully cold temperatures combined with precipitation on some of those nights that mm-hmm. you've got listed up there. So. I'm sure it will change.
Yes, I'm sure one way or another it will. That's the only constant that we have is it will change.
That's right. Weather, whatever the weatherman said that was beyond today is probably wrong.
I think the quote is attributed to Will Rogers, but nonetheless, if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes, it'll change.
It'll change.
Yeah, that's right.
Very true. All right, well, Charlie, I've got a few announcements to go through, and then I'm lucky enough to have the two chiefs here with me today, and we thought we'd talk a little public safety. I've got Chief Banks and Chief Rolls both here, and they've got some different things to discuss. But before we get into that, we've got a couple of things going on. With your next utility bill, all the citizens of Bartlesville should receive the landfill coupon that we've done for the last several years. This will be good for one free trip to the Osage landfill. And this coupon will allow residents to dispose of unwanted household goods, and it's free of charge. Mm-hmm. And they can do this anytime before December 31st. So they get to do it on at their pleasure. Used to, we would set aside a single day or a single weekend. The problem was is that created huge backups at the landfill. So this allows us to send out a coupon. The residential customers can go at any time that the landfill is open, present that coupon along with a copy of their utility bill, and they'll be allowed to dispose of whatever they've got at that point in time.
On an ancillary topic, and I know you've got other things to talk about, but just because you mentioned taking stuff to the landfill, there is a survey that will be coming that will be asking people's opinions on things like a possible, you know, pickup of this or that, and are you willing to do it, but are you willing to pay for it, and that sort of thing.
You're exactly right, Charlie. In fact, Keith Henry and I had a conference call last week. We're one step closer. I think we'll probably have that survey out. I would anticipate that we'll have it out within the next 30 days or so, and that services like this are exactly what we want to know. Is this something that the citizens find of value? We'll be asking about some services we don't offer, and we'll be asking about some that we do, trying to determine what services are most demanded by the citizens, and as you said, more importantly, what services they're willing to pay for. There is no free lunch. I realize this is a free trip to the landfill, but we all pay for it through our sanitation bill. So is this something that people find valuable enough for us to continue to offer? I think that this one's a no-brainer. This one is a highly utilized service. It allows people to clean up their property. You know, we used to do a spring and a fall cleanup, and it was quite an undertaking. Mm-hmm. People would set out, you know, we'd go around, and there was different areas of the town that we would pick up during different weeks. That was quite a process.
And I can see the value on that in that it's curbside, because not everyone has a truck available or
That's
a trailer
right.
available. And if it doesn't fit theoretically in the trunk of the only car you have, it's not getting to the landfill.
That's right. And I think that was the value to it. It created its own issues. It tied up all of the city crews for several weeks. In fact, as I said earlier, this would be water and wastewater, and street guys would be picking up trash during that period of time. Some of the other issues that it created was that it could be pretty unsightly during the period of time at which it was going on. And we've tried several different things. At one point in time, we used MJ Lee as a drop-off point for people during that cleanup. Unfortunately, we received motorcycles and boats, and I think I realize people think that we're exaggerating here, but we received cars and boats that were dropped off at that site. So
I will just mention, if people have a car they want to drop off, Crime Stoppers will accept that car. Paul's Record Service will actually come pick it up from you as a free service to you, and the donation is made to Crime Stoppers, and you will get the tax receipt for the value, the cash value of that donation.
I think that's a much better solution than taking it to the dump, Charlie. So there's some value to that. Then everybody benefits. But so that'll be coming out, and I would encourage everybody to look for both of these things. And the reason that we talk about it right now is because there's a lot of people that are on automated payment for their utility bills. And if they are, then sometimes they don't open their utility bill. Well, I want everybody to be looking out for the next couple of months and open your utility bills, because there'll be information about the survey. There will be this cleanup coupon in there. So make sure you open your bill at least for the next few months, and then you can go back to run them through the shredder or however you normally handle them. But
I think it's nice to look at the bill just to say, yeah, it's about what I thought.
Yeah, that's it.
Otherwise, you may have a leak going into your crawl space or something that you're paying for but not actually getting the use of the water.
Well, you're exactly right, and we try to monitor that electronically, but we won't catch everything. So we certainly advise everybody to at least check the amount that you're paying for your bill on a regular basis. But and Charlie, and talking about the other kind of water, we've got some storm water. We've got some investigative digs going on right now. And this is in the downtown area, so we're getting ready for that large stormwater project that's going to be in downtown area. In order to prepare for that, one of the things that we have to do is go in and locate exactly where the utilities are. And it's important not only to know where they are as far as what street or what right-of-way they're located in, we want to know how deep they are, because it's possible that we can work above or below those. So you will see that. So most of this is going on in the alleys, but there are some of them that are in the streets. So if you see a hole in the street that is filled with a dark substance, that is us. We did dig those, and we'll be working on them in the near future. But the dark substance is not dirt. It's actually recycled millings from where we have milled some asphalt streets. We save those and then use them in instances like this. So it works better than gravel, and it tends to pack down a little better, and it doesn't. It won't cause you that drop as you drive through there quite like gravel does. So that is going on. There will be some lane closures, but it shouldn't be too substantial. Most of that is actually in the alleys. And a couple of other actually events that we've got coming up in the next few weeks. The Bartlesville History Museum is going to host Black History Month event. And so they have an announcement that they've issued, and in conjunction with Black History Month, the Bartlesville Area History Museum will host a special program celebrating the triumphs of African Americans on February 28th. And this will be hosted by the education coordinator, Betty Keith, and she'll present the program noon to 1 at the museum located at 401 South Johnstone. And if you've never been to the museum, it's fantastic. It really is. It really is a great space. They've got some great exhibits and great events. It's on the 5th floor of City Hall. So 401 South Johnstone, they are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So even outside of this one event, we would love to have everybody there. But if you're looking to come to this, February 28th, 1 p.m. at the museum, which is on the 5th floor of City Hall. And got a couple of other events coming up. One of them is a dedication of a shelter at Civitan Park. Civitan Park is one that most people refer to as a dinosaur park. It is called Civitan Park because this is a park that was primarily made possible through the generosity of Bartlesville Civitan Club. They assisted with the funds to construct the park. And I say they assisted. They raised the funds to construct the Civitan Park, and they also have added they've given us the money to add a shelter at the Civitan Park. And so they're going to be having a dedication of that, and that will be this Friday. I had to think about what day it was.
That would be
Charlie.
The 15th. Friday.
That's right. Friday, February 15th at 12:15. At Bartlesville's only ADA accessible park, which is what makes this park so unique. This is for handicapped children and other people. Of course, all kids are welcome to play there, but it is
still a great park. It's just special in that way.
It is, and in fact, it was. I find it ironic. Almost everybody I know, this is their kid's favorite park, is the dinosaur park. So it is a great park, and we're very thankful to the local Civitan Club for their donations and their assistance with this. And on Monday, in celebration of President's Day, the City Hall will be closed. Anyone who has a Monday trash route, that they will be picked up on Wednesday. So if you're normally picked up on Monday, you'll be picked up on Wednesday of next week. City Hall will be closed. Of course, our emergency services will continue to run as they always do. But we will reopen on Tuesday of next week. And the last announcement I have before we get to what everybody tuned in for, I'm sure everybody tuned in to hear Chief Banks, is the Highway 123 bridge project. This is an ODOT bridge project. It's something that has been, honestly, it's been planned for a number of years. ODOT has been in communications with the city of Bartlesville during this period of time. There were a lot of questions. The ODOT has hosted several public meetings, but I realize not everybody could get to those. So we were getting a lot of questions about it, and they were all good questions, but some of them were based on a faulty understanding of what this project will look like.
Correct me if I'm wrong. There was originally a federal study on structurally deficient bridges. The results of that study passed down to the states. The states then come to Bartlesville and say, you got one.
That's right. And of course, if you remember, I think it was the I-40 bridge that collapsed. After that, it really became a priority of the state to get out and fix all these structurally deficient bridges. So this bridge is badly in need of this. It is time to be replaced. The state has elected to move the alignment of that bridge to Delaware Avenue. So it will not be in its current location. The city of Bartlesville put together just a brief fact for anybody that's interested in this bridge. I know there was a citizen group that was asking if the city would support a citizen group taking over the maintenance and ownership of the existing bridge. And the short answer is, well, we wouldn't oppose it, but there's a lot of things you need to be aware of. So tried to compile that in this. So on cityofbartlesville.org, there is this FAQ out there, and I would encourage anybody who has questions about that project to look at this first. And then it has some contact information for the ODOT representative, and it's actually Randall White, who is the director of Division 8, who is in charge of this project, and Randall is very well versed in what's going on with this project and all of the challenges. So he and I spoke on the phone before we issued this to ensure that we were sort of in lockstep with ODOT, which we have been the entire time of this project. So anybody who has an interest in that 123, the existing bridge, or the alignment of the new bridge, take a look there. At the same time, you might also sign up for Bartlesville City Beat. We send out notifications of things like this, and we have Kelly Williams, works for the City of Bartlesville, and she does a good job of putting together a weekly publication that just kind of keeps everybody up to date on what's going on with the City of Bartlesville. So, all right, Charlie. Well, that's all the boring stuff. We got that all out of the
good
way.
Well, you've taken more than half the program already. So
I did, and they both look relieved for some reason. I don't know why that is. No, you're just getting started. In fact, Charlie offered to extend the program, Chief. If you got an extra you want to say, he'll let us stay a little longer. But, Charlie, I brought Chief Banks here with me, which, of course, is our fire chief. And Chief Banks just recently gave a report to the City Council. We receive annually, the fire department produces annually a report that discusses all of our run times and the types of runs, the fire runs and medical runs and all the things that we go through. And wanted the Chief to come in. There's a couple of things going on, but thought we'd start with the fire report. Morning, Chief.
Good morning. We generate this report off our firehouse software, which is a software that we use to do our run reports of all kinds, whether EMS, structure fires, or whatever. We call it the NIFRS, which is National Incident Fire Reporting System, that is used throughout the nation, really. I mean, I know there's different ones. There's Firehouse, and then there's other companies that work off of that too, but the reporting system, the NIFRS part of it, is a national program, and you see surveys and statistics that come out through the IAFF and places like that that talk about firefighters' injuries and how many structure fires and all that, and that's where that information comes from, is from these reports. So it's although, it's interesting for us to look at and kind of see what we've done last year and how it compares to the years past. But there really is a lot of value in these reports that nationwide that they use to find out certain. I remember when the Mr. Coffees, I don't know if anybody out there is old enough to remember when the Mr. Coffees was setting house fires. And,
sure.
And that we didn't do this type of reporting back then. But there was a lot of people that did, and that's actually where they catch things like that. There's a lot of information we put in those reports when we suspect or when we discover that a certain item possibly started this fire, and that's how they find a lot of that stuff. So they're very important reports, and we file them with the state every year, and then the NIFRS system,
the state rolls those up into other statistical reports that are combined with other states. So, Chief, how are we looking this year? Talk about structure fires first, and most people probably don't realize that the smallest number of calls that the fire department responds to are structure fires.
Yeah, absolutely. We we've seen a little bit of an upturn the last couple of years in structure fires. Some years we'll have, in the 30s to 40s. This last year we had 50, and in 17 we had 46. Total fires actually went down a little bit this year, which encompasses, building fires, vehicle fires, and dumpster fires, just brush fires, a lot of different things. We was down from 188 in 17 to 175 this year. Our total run call actually increased a little bit, but when you go back and kind of look at the numbers, the increases was in our good intent calls, which drove that number up a little bit. And what that is, if somebody drives down the road and sees Bailey's got his smoker fired up in the backyard, it looks like smoke's coming out of the back of his house, and they call us, we go, we investigate. Well, that really wasn't a false call, because the person that called it in had good intentions.
Hopefully they still gave you a hamburger or a hot dog off that grill while it was fired
up. So sometimes they do, you know.
In fairness, the smoker was on fire that day, Charlie. So
so we log those types of calls as good intent calls, you know. I mean, so they're not really a false call. That person wasn't trying to, you know, trying to aggravate anybody. They truly thought there was a problem that we need to know about. So that, we kind of had an uptake in that. Our rescue calls, we had an increase in those, and those type of calls, we have EMS calls, we have rescue calls, and our rescue calls are actually a pretty big number of the EMS, more so than just the what we call sick calls, right, for lack of a better word, I guess. And a rescue call is, you know, is if we provide CPR to somebody, you know, we're doing a life-saving activity, that's we log those as rescue calls, you know, a extrication from a vehicle accident, or just a numerous amount of different,
pulling a dog out of a lake.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. So, and well, that number was up a little over about 130, it looks like. I'm looking at my numbers here, and we had 3,809 calls last year, which was up about a little over 200 calls from 17. So it is an uptake, but when you look at the numbers, the calls that really mean something, I mean that reflects numbers in our fire loss or something like that, are actually down a little bit, in spite of the rash of arson fires that we had in the Jane Phillips edition is what we call it.
Yeah, and I think you've actually got a little bit of an update on.
Yeah, we had 14 structure fires that spanned from about July of 18 till November, end of November, I guess, of 18.
All vacant houses, Chief?
Yes, all but one.
All but one.
All but one. The first one was an occupied structure. As far as I know, the rest of them were all vacant homes. And we've actually got a person that we are certain is involved in those fires. We have an affidavit at the DA's office right now, waiting for him to issue a warrant so we can arrest that individual.
If you still know somebody or have information resulting from those fires, Crime Stoppers will take your anonymous report.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then we have another arson fire that we had at Brookhaven earlier that last year, and that individual is actually in jail now. He'll be going to trial in July for that, if he was involved in that fire.
And Chief, how common are arson fires in any given year?
Well, for our community, we're probably about like everybody else, towns of our size, but we have more really than what you realize. I mean, we've had two arson investigators along with some of the police force that was after these guys that was involved in the fires over in Jane Phillips. I mean, that was really unusual for our community to have a serial arsonist like that in this community. But I think we're on the right trail there. We haven't had one that was linked to that in quite some time. Yeah. So,
but that was highly unusual to have 14. So we had in about a 12-month period, we had 15 arsons, and we believe that 14 of them were related and one was unrelated. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was from about July to November. So so there's probably
very short period of time.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, I drove up on one as I was responding to another one night, you know, it was really getting out of hand for a while. But our arson investigators and the Barnesville Police Department, you know, with their efforts helping us, we've got this shut down.
I believe we've run them to ground. Well, the reason I pointed out that they were vacants is that it doesn't really matter. Just because a house is vacant
doesn't mean that the house is really vacant. At times we have homeless people that stay in those houses. And even if there aren't, there's property destruction. Plus someone is putting our firefighters at risk simply for, I don't know, some sort of perverse thrill of burning a structure. So it was highly unusual. You guys responded very well, and I think hopefully we'll have a satisfactory ending to this very soon.
I hope so. Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, we as a fire department, we consider all structures occupied until we deem them unoccupied.
You guys have to react the same.
Yeah, so it's it is a dangerous situation, and we do have people that sometimes aren't supposed to be in those structures that we find out.
And nobody knows they're in there.
And you don't know that until you go look.
Or you could have kids playing in it. So So the distinction on the vacant homes, fortunately, no one was killed during this, but at the same time, it doesn't. That's irrelevant to us.
That's exactly right. So, but anyway, that's I got to leave Chief Rolls a little.
Thank you, Chief.
You bet.
I appreciate it. And I also have our other chief here with me, Charlie. I've got Chief Rolls, our police chief. And how long you been here now, Chief?
4 months.
4 months. There have been a lot of changes to the police department that have happened in the last 4 months under Chief Rolls. And I can tell you that I think the officers are very pleased with the things that have happened down at the police department and the changes.
I know they're pleased
made.
With their promotions. So
they have some additional promotion opportunities, and we have several guys who have been promoted since Chief got here. Of course, shortly after you arrived, we had a couple of unfortunate events that resulted in some opportunity for advancement within the department, It also gave you an opportunity to restructure your command staff and some of the others. So why don't you talk a little bit about some of the things that have happened down there, Chief?
Thanks for having me, first of all. We have had some changes. And I tell everybody, one of the most exciting things that I get to do as a chief is promote people. It's also the most stressful thing because we've got to get it right. Because if we don't, have to live with that bad promotion for many, many years. So,
that's right.
So far, I think we've gotten it right. So at least we started off on a good foot as far as promotions. And I'm always excited to get to see people advance their careers. So that's a very good thing. You mentioned some change. I can tell you for 2019, we're looking at two major initiatives, and that's a wellness initiative and a training initiative. We have to do a better job in law enforcement of taking care of our own, and because too many of our people are committing suicide, and we have to do a better job of stopping that. And we're gonna make that a priority to help our own. The other thing is training. The CLEAT, the state entity that licensed police officers, requires 25 hours of annual training. That's not enough.
That's a minimum.
That's a minimum. That's minimum standard. We are encouraging our officers to each receive 100 hours of training annually for obvious reasons, and including mental health training, which is going to help with the wellness initiative. The other major change that we made was the addition to a position on the command staff. We had the opportunity to hire Rick Silver, who's very well-respected, very experienced law enforcement person, and just an overall good person.
He was in charge of the Citizens Police Academy back when I went through it. So,
yeah,
as a Bartlesville police officer.
That's right. He's been involved with law enforcement in Bartlesville and Washington County for a long time.
So we had the opportunity to bring him on board, which only strengthens what we're trying to do with the police department, and that is get out of status quo and continue to move forward in the future and look at things that are going to benefit all of our officers in the future, which in turn benefits the community. So as far as change, those are the two big things in 19 that we're looking at, the wellness initiative and the training initiative. And then getting to have Rick Silver on board is going to help with those two things as well.
And that was with Rick. It was really sort of a fortunate accident for the Bartlesville Police Department. Chief Rolls and I have discussed the command structure since he showed up. It was one of the very first conversations we had was for him to examine the command structure and determine whether it was operating efficiently and how he thought it should be. So during that period of time, he had discussed the possibility of essentially a fourth captain, although this ended up being a position that could be filled with either a police officer or I can't remember how you phrased it, but essentially
certified
it could
or
be
non-certified.
Yeah, certified or non-certified. And just so happened that... that Sheriff Silver announced his retirement during that period of time, and it was, again, that was very fortunate for us that we were able to bring in somebody of Sheriff Silver's caliber to fill a position at the police department. And of course, that's where he got his start, was in the Bartlesville Police Department. But the chief's right, he's very well respected in our department and in law enforcement in this region. So very, very fortunate. There have been a lot of positive changes at the police department, and I'm happy to see it.
Thanks for bringing the chiefs in.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it.
That's City Matters from K1. Insure your home, car, boat, health, life, and business all at one place. Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460, KWON Bartlesville, K227.